Thank you. I also have two babies, and slings are a very important part of my life because your arms do get tired. So I agree. Bring your slings. That's good. It was a privilege to come here last summer with our group. Jim actually was in charge of some construction stuff with our students that have no business doing any part of construction. And they had power tools, and I was scared for my life. But they all signed waivers. So it's like, do whatever you want. You signed a waiver. Doesn't matter anymore. But we're coming back this summer. That's the plan anyways, and we're planning on coming back and doing it bigger and better than we did last year. And hopefully running a kids program is the initial kind of idea here at the church, kind of a VBS type thing. Jazz and I kind of were dreaming a little bit, and we're going to bring a group of people to come and minister again to here in Gibson's, because we love you guys, and it's been so fun to have this relationship. And we're actually, Jazz and I and a few others, we've been talking the last couple months of what would it look like, and I think we mentioned this in the summer, what would it look like if we start a youth church, which is our youth ministry here in Gibson's. And so we have a couple meetings this afternoon talking about that, and we want to help see the lost teenagers and kids in this town come to know God. Amen? And we could all work together. We all play a part in that. And we're praying into that. We don't know exactly what that looks like, what that's going to look like in the future, but we're believing God for big things. And so we would love for you to pray with us. And we're gonna go to Wendy's this afternoon. I heard that's the place to be after the service. Yeah, that's right? So we're going to Wendy's. And we love to chat with you about it. We love to dream a little bit with you and talk about what that could look like even here at CLA. So anyways, that's a little, just a little FYI, and we love to talk about that. But today I actually kind of want to talk about something kind of similar. My title is Be Brave. Can you say that with me? Be brave. Say it again. Okay, good. In order to do something great, just in general, but especially like in the kingdom of God, we have to be brave. God uses brave people. He doesn't always use the most skilled people, but he uses the people that are going to be brave and step out. And so that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. A couple months ago, almost 5 months ago now, I had a little boy, our second child. His name's Clay. We have a picture up there. That's what he looked like when he was like first born. Now he's really fat, and he's got about four chins going on, which is a good thing. That's what we want. When Clay was born, I had to be one of the bravest times, like the times that I had to be the bravest in my life. I remember it was almost 5 weeks early, end of June, we were 5 weeks early. But my wife, she had some warning signs. This is our second child, so we kind of know the routine. Well, the one other time we had a baby, it's scary every time, let me tell you. We know the routine of, you know, kind of having the babies, so she was having some warning signs that, you know, the baby might come a little bit early. So we were on pins and needles for like weeks leading up to the actual birth of Clay. I remember if you've had any children, you probably know, it's just like when you know you're going to have a kid, like the last month feels like a million years long. It's like every day it's like, oh my word, like the time is going backwards here. Like, baby, just come out. Like, please, just come out. So we were sitting, waiting around for the baby to be born. It was a Friday night, I had a soccer game that night. And I was like, you know what? I know I should probably stay home, but I think I should probably get out of the house, because I've been in the house for a while now, and I get a little stir-crazy when I get in the house. Does anyone here, like, need to get out of the house every once in a while? Yeah, my wife can stay in the house for, like, days at a time. Like, she just doesn't leave. She loves that. I don't know, it's weird. But I need to get out. Like, 6 hours, I'm like, okay, I got to go do something now. So I went out to my soccer game, and I had my phone close in hand, I gave my phone to my coach, and I said, if this phone rings, you get me off that field ASAP because my wife's having a baby and I need to get home. And I had permission from my wife. She allowed me to go to the game. And she actually suggested it. She's like, you got to get out. You're going crazy right now in the house. And so I gave my the coach my phone and gave him the instructions and made sure the ringer was on full blast. And we warmed up and nothing. And the game started. The first half of the game is 45 minutes. We played. And I kept looking, making eye contact with the coach. Nothing. I was like, great, this is awesome. I'm going to get to go through the whole game without a baby and maybe go home and have a baby. It's best case scenario, win the game and have a baby. It's awesome. And so as I was walking back to the bench at halftime to get a drink, all of a sudden the ringer goes off. And it's like, bring! And I was like, oh no, please like be someone else, anyone else. And he looks at the phone and his face goes like this. And he turns it, and my wife's name is on the screen, and I'm like, oh, no, please be a false alarm or something. She's like, you got to get home right now. And I'm like, oh, no, and I jump in the van, and I drive all the way home, and we rush to the hospital, we put her, she lays down on the bed, and they put these monitors on the baby, like heart monitors, like these straps around her belly, because that's what they do now, And they put the straps on. We had a midwife, and midwife's kind of looking at the monitor, and you can tell, like in her face, that it wasn't perfect. But you know, they don't tell you that. They just say things like, "Oh yes, we just want to be careful," you know, things like that, where it's like, "No, something could be wrong here." And it turns out that she kind of explained to us the heartbeat of the baby wasn't as strong as they would like it to be. So it wasn't when the contractions were happening, the heart rate usually kind of goes up. And they can see on the monitor that there was like little contractions, but the heart rate was kind of staying the same. And she's like, it's not a super, super bad thing, but it's kind of like some red flags that are going up. And they called the doctor in, and the doctor looked. The doctor looked at the at the monitor, and she's kind of like, you know, took some notes and stuff, and you know, looked a little bit concerned, and just said, okay, we're going to come back in about 20 minutes and assess it and see how, you know, see how she's doing in 20 minutes. And she literally walked out of the room and then walked back like 5 seconds later. She's like, you know what? We're taking that baby out right now. And we're like, oh boy, okay, here we go. She threw me like some scrubs and started wheeling Carrie, my wife, into the other room where they were literally gonna do a C-section and take the baby out. And as we were getting wheeled into the other room, and I was like trying to get on my scrubs and like that little hat they give you and all that kind of stuff, the doctor starts to tell us, we don't know how long the baby has been in distress for. They figured the baby was in distress because of the heart rate. And it could have been 2 days, it could have been 2 minutes, it could have been 2 weeks. We have no idea. And because of that, she said, we can't guarantee that everything's going to be okay with the baby. And as soon as she says that, we're thinking, like, worst case scenario. Like, obviously, we're going to deal with anything that happens here, but it's like your mind just starts to race. Like, in every single situation you can possibly imagine. We're just looking at each other like helpless. Like, I'm standing there like I'm a bit of a fixer, you know, like if something's wrong, I like to fix it. I couldn't fix anything. I just had to like just wait. And my wife, obviously, she's scared, and we're both just looking at each other. And it was one of those moments in my life where, like I said, I had to be the most bravest I've ever been. Not only for myself, I ended up having a C-section, and they did a whole bunch of like tests and stuff on the baby. And everything actually was turned out totally fine. We stayed in the hospital for a few days, came out and went home after wasn't even a week that we stayed in the hospital. And it turns out that the baby had only been in distress for like a couple minutes. And then they were able to take him out. But it was like the scariest moment because I had all these fears and thoughts and emotions like flooding into my mind, all these negative things. And like I said, fears. It was the hardest time of my life to have to be brave, knowing that something could really, really be wrong, and our lives can be changed. And we were like okay with anything. Obviously, we would have done anything or whatever, but it was just so hard to be brave. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit about being brave, what it looks like to be brave in our faith. And this year, I've been challenging our young people at our church. challenging them, like, what does it look like to be brave in your school? What does it look like to be brave in your friends group, in your homes? A lot of young people, obviously, they don't come from Christian homes. I've been challenging them to be a light in their schools, in the dark places. And the verse that keeps coming up, that I keep going back to is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says this, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid." Everyone say, "Does not make us timid." Good. "It does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. You see, I read that and I think to myself, when we start a relationship with God, that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave, that same Spirit that Jesus was functioning in, that was raising people from the dead, that was healing people, that same Spirit lives inside of us, lives inside of you. When you accept Jesus into your heart, that same Spirit lives inside of us. And that's why it says, the Spirit of God doesn't make us timid. It gives us power. Like we don't understand that sometimes. We get overwhelmed with all these fears and insecurities and things that come into our minds. But God says, listen, I have that same Spirit lives inside of you right now. Why don't you just be brave? Why don't you just step out? Why don't you just do what I'm asking you to do? Why don't you do what I'm calling you to do? Just be brave. The verse doesn't say God gave us, the Spirit God gave us allows us to coast through life. It doesn't say the Spirit that God gave us allows us to be comfortable for the rest of our days. It says it does not make us timid. How many times in our lives and in situations do you shy away, do I shy away from things, from situations because we're timid? How many times is there an opportunity to be a light maybe in your workplace? How many times do we choose to be timid and choose to be scared? When remembering anything is this, as Christ followers, we're called to be brave. Can I get an amen? And so this morning, in the next few minutes, I want to talk about two things that brave people do, okay? If you're taking notes, I got two things that brave people do. Brave people, the first one is this. Brave people take every thought captive. Brave people take every thought captive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 5, it says this. "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought to make it obedient to Christ." We take every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Because you know and I know, just like when I was going through that, we're having our second baby, the flood of negative thoughts and thoughts of I can't and I'm scared and all these negative things, thoughts like that flood our minds all the time. God's asking us to be brave all the time. He's putting things on our hearts. He's putting things on our minds. But we often are overcome by the scared thoughts and the insecurity thoughts rather than the brave thoughts. Brave people take every thought captive. Some of the thoughts that have held me back over the years and that I have to fight against daily are these. I'm not good enough. How about that one? God's like, I want to use you to do big things. But God, I'm not good enough. I can't. Or how about this? My situation is too stressful. I just can't handle it. Or how about this? I'm going to fail. God, I can't do what you're asking me to do. I can't tell that person about you. I can't give that money that you want me to give. I can't do this. I'm going to fail. How many times have you not stepped out in faith because you think you're going to fail? I have. I'll be honest with you. How often do we let the fear of failure hold us back? Stephen Furtick is a pastor in the States, and I was listening to one of his sermons, and he said this, "The opposite of success is not failure. The opposite of success is not failure. It's unfaithfulness. It's unfaithfulness. If you're faithful to God and what he wants you to do, even your failure will work." For God, it doesn't matter if you fail or not. It matters if you step out and do it or not. Because he'll use that failure, and a lot of times you learn when you fail. You know, you don't always learn, although it is nice to learn when you are winning. but often he uses the failures to teach you the most. So it's not God, like, it's not, am I gonna win or am I gonna lose? Am I gonna fail? It's, am I gonna be obedient to what God wants me to do? What God wants me to do. How about this one? How about this thought? I'm scared of what others will think of me. Scared of what others will think of me. Yep, put that one on the list. For every high school student, that's probably the main one. I'm scared of what others will think of me. As I was writing that, I thought to myself, and I wrote it down here, I said, what we should be scared of is allowing what others think dictate whether we're going to obey God or not. I thought, yeah, that's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. How about this one? I just can't do it. I'm weak. I'm not able. And this one really, really kind of gets me going because it kind of defeats the whole purpose of God living inside of us. The fact when we think we can't do it, it's almost like slapping God in the face to say, God, you can't do it. But we're just saying that because we're scared. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, it says this. Paul says this. This is why for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So Paul actually says, when you think you can't do it, that's a good thing. Because I didn't think I can do it, and look what God's using me to do. When you think you can't do it, it's a miracle when God actually uses you to do the thing that you think you can't do. And then we're sitting there thinking, I couldn't have done that. It must have been God. And God's saying, thank you. That's what I've been saying all along. Your greatest weakness, my greatest weakness, is God's greatest opportunity if we're willing to trust him and give all our hope, put all our hope in him. And when we see our weaknesses through God's strength, when we see our weaknesses through what he sees, we're equipped with all we need to be brave in every situation that he's asking us to be in. In our weakness, in your weakness, you can choose. Everyone say choose. You can choose to depend on God's strength and allow it to change you. Oftentimes, we choose to be scared. Oftentimes, I choose to be scared. Today, I want to encourage you to be brave. Really, being brave, stepping out in faith, doing what God's called you to do and asking you to do, and it's not something that he calls you to do once. It's like, this is like a thing that happens like often. Like maybe there's obviously some big things that he asks you to do, but even on a daily basis, like, you know, you're walking through the grocery store and God puts a thought in your mind, hey, go say hi to that person. Go pray for that person. Go talk to that person, or maybe a coworker. Invite that person to the Christmas banquet on December 5th. I heard it's going to be a good time. But we push away those thoughts because it's like, oh, no, they won't come. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that guy that's like the church guy ringing the church bell all the time. You know, like, I don't want to be that guy. But God's often putting things in our mind and asking us to be brave, and even in little situations. But it starts, being brave starts with taking those thoughts of insecurity and of doubt and of unfaithfulness and kind of putting them like in a headlock and making them obedient to God. Saying, is this thought from God? Because if it is, we gotta take it. If it's not, we gotta get rid of it. And the fact is, you can't make a thought not come into your mind. Thoughts can come into your mind, but it's what you do with that thought. You can't make a thought not come into your mind, but you can replace that thought. So if I stand here and I say, don't think of a pink elephant. Thinking of a pink elephant, right? Yeah, okay. If you're not, it's going to come in a few seconds, all right? Pink elephant. You can't stop that thought from coming, but what you could do is replace that thought. A lot of times when we have those thoughts of insecurities, we can't stop those from coming in, but we can halt it and replace it with a godly thought. Brave people take every thought captive. This one's really practical, the second one. Brave people, they do something. Everyone say do something. Brave people do something. You can control those lies that go through your head all you want. You can replace them, and you can have the best thought process in the world, the best Christian thought process in the world. But unless you do something, It doesn't really matter. Unless you actually step out and do something, it doesn't really matter. For God, it's not the thought that counts. It's the action. It doesn't matter if you thought about inviting someone to church or thought about having like a spiritual conversation with someone, with a coworker, or share your testimony with them. It doesn't matter if you thought about reaching out to your neighbors or thought about inviting them out to the Christmas banquet or thought about inviting them over to your house just to hang out, just to build relationships. It doesn't matter if you thought about those things. It's the action that counts. Being brave means stepping out and doing something. Doing something, that's the key word, even though you're scared. Hebrews chapter 11, it's been on my mind for a couple weeks now, and some of you may know it's the faith chapter. And it talks about people that had full confidence in God, that he would do what that he would fill them with and make them brave, even though they're stepping out and doing things they thought was maybe crazy for the time. You think of a man like Abraham. He left his home, all his comfort, all his everything that he knew, and he went to the land that God was calling him to go to. He just got up and left because God asked him to do that. And then he goes and he was willing to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. Why? Because God asked him to. God asked him to step out in faith and do it. It sounded crazy, and it probably was a little crazy, but God was seeing if he was willing to be brave and step out in faith. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Noah building the ark, and this story keeps coming to my mind because I have a 2.5-year-old, so I'm telling him the story of Noah's ark like on a daily basis, and the more I tell it, the more I'm thinking, no, in that time, Noah was crazy. Like, that was, like, unheard of. Like, build a huge, ginormous boat that took him, like, 40 years to build and wait for, like, floods of, to come. Like, why would you do that? Because God asked him to do it. Because he stepped out. He didn't listen to those lies that were coming into his head or the jeers that were coming from his neighbors and people that were yelling at him at the time. He did it because God was asking him to do it. The Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Moses. You think about Moses' journey, and specifically when he's leading the Israelites, and he comes up to the Red Sea, and he has to part the Red Sea. And God parts the Red Sea through through Moses. It's crazy to think how much faith that would have taken, how brave he needed to be. Or the story of Joshua. How God led Joshua and his army not to fight Jericho, but to walk around Jericho with instruments. You think about that. All right, guys, put away your swords, bring out your guitars and trumpets. Let's go sing a hymn. Bravery that takes to step out in faith and say yes to what God was calling him to do. David, in faith, stepped up and slayed Goliath. There's tons of people in the Bible who were not perfect people. It's well documented. They were not perfect people, but they said yes to what God was calling them to do. And all those people in the Bible, and I can name tons of people that I know that are stepping out in faith, that are doing things that God has told them to do and asked them to do, brave things that he's asked them to do. All these people have all those same thoughts of insecurities and fear going through their mind, all the same ones that we do, that we have going through our mind, the thoughts that I can't do it, that I'm not good enough, that I'm going to fail, all these thoughts go through everyone's mind. But the difference was they all realized that the reward of saying yes is greater than the regret of saying no. The reward of saying yes is greater than the regret of saying no. Band, why don't you make your way up to the stage here? In these last few minutes, I want to ask you, what's the brave thing that God is asking you to do? What's the thing that he's put on your heart or your mind the last week, last month, the last year, the last 10 years that you've been pushing away? What's he been prompting you to do for days or weeks or months? Is there something that he's been asking you to do, telling you to do, that you've been kind of pushing away? How can you be brave in your faith? How can you be brave in your faith? Today's big idea, the one thing that I would love for you to leave with is this. It's up here. Being brave doesn't mean we have no fear. It means we refuse to be overcome by it. Being brave doesn't mean we have no fear. When you choose to be brave, it doesn't mean those thoughts are going to stop coming. We just choose that those thoughts are not going to be greater than me acting out and being brave and doing what God has called me to do. What's that thing in your life today? And this morning, we're going to end with a song called You Make Me Brave. And the whole point of this is we're not doing this on our own strength. We're not doing this because we think we can do it by ourselves. We're doing this because we know that we have that God's Spirit working inside of us. If you've accepted Jesus into your heart, you have God's Spirit working inside of you, showing you how to be brave, helping you be brave. And it's God doing it through you, not you doing it through you. And if you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, maybe you've come here. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you've only been a few times. You've never accepted Jesus into your heart. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that in a few moments. But why don't you just sit and reflect and listen to the words of this song and ask God, God, what are you asking me to do? How are you asking me to be brave this morning? So let's sing it.